Good morning. Thanks for being here on this summer Sunday morning. Information technology is making information travel faster and faster and faster. And you may have heard that we are now going to 5G technology. That's going to make transmission of videos, of information, downloading even faster and faster. People are worried that it may disrupt a lot, because we're going to see a lot of wiring in the environment, and they're wondering how this is going to affect our lives. But information is so fast, and we get information so quickly. Something happens in the United States, there's a shooting, and information travels everywhere in the world instantly, in a minute. Consequently, it's become more and more difficult to wait for a response. You want your coffee quickly. Now you can order it before you even get to the coffee shop. And it's ready waiting because the technology is available. But it makes waiting very, very difficult. Just imagine you have a breakdown in your house. You are calling the emergency services. And when you call, what you get is a voicemail, that you are the 20th in line, that you've got to be patient, and you hear music playing, and there's no response, and you're getting agitated because you want your problem solved quickly. Or have you tried meeting the mayor of your town, or the MP, or even if you are a Mark student, have you ever been to the president's office with any issue? If you're going to see the president, you will need an appointment. You will need to give a reason why you want to see him. You need to give a reason why your immediate supervisor is not sufficient. You may never be able to see him. But guess what? The God of this universe, the all-knowing, all-powerful God, the God of infinite riches, has given us a hotline. Now, let me describe what a hotline is. Hotlines have no dialing pad. So the President of the United States has a hotline with the President of Russia. There's no dialing pad. You lift it and it rings. And the one on the other end is always available to take it. What God has offered us is a hotline that we pick up and we get straight into his presence. There's no voicemail. There's no waiting. No if, no buts. The God of the universe is at the other end saying, hello, can I help you? What a privilege. What an opportunity. Yet, it's stated in North America that the average Christian prays for just about 8 minutes a day. That is less than 0.5% of the day. It's all we get time to pray. When we have access to omnipotence, access to all the riches of wisdom and knowledge and power, less than 0.5%. Why is that so? But even when we do, sometimes it appears that this God doesn't hear us. And sometimes we have to wait and wait and wait. And we say, how long do we have to wait to receive our responses? But Jesus, who was the Son of God, who was God-man, had an answer for this. And we'll be looking at a passage in Luke chapter 11. Last week when Zach spoke to us, he indicated that Jesus liked to speak in parables. He used stories to draw us in into that experiential moment before he brings out the lesson he wants to teach us. So in the context of Luke chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, I would like you to open to it, or you have your apps. It begins with Jesus praying in a certain place. And the disciples watch him pray. And as they watch him pray, they went to him and said, Lord, teach us what to pray. We just want to be like you. We want to do exactly what you did. And Jesus taught them to pray. And you know the famous Lord's Prayer, Father in heaven, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation. So he virtually taught his disciples exactly what to pray. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is. But think for a moment. Jesus was the Son of God. He was the very image of God. He was one with the Father. And yet, he prayed. He prayed a lot. Though he was the Son of God, he taught his disciples to pray. He healed people through prayer. He cast out demons through prayer. He prayed regularly, sometimes early morning in Luke, sometimes all night, again in the Gospel of Luke. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was praying. You remember the story of the transfiguration when the disciples saw Elijah and Moses standing by his side. It was through prayer. When he was in his greatest crisis, he prayed. When he wanted to select his disciples, he prayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed so fervently with tears and sweat of blood. He even prayed when he was dying. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He prayed continually, all the time, because for him, prayer was communion with the Father, was a relationship with the Father. So now he's taught them what to pray. He then moves on to the text that I'm going to focus on to teach them how they should pray. Not just what they should pray, but how they should pray. So read with me with Luke 15, verses 5 to 12. It gives them a parable of the friend at midnight. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you got him at midnight. You go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's unpack this for a moment. So just put yourself in the position of this guy who is sleeping in bed and gets a friend appear at midnight when everybody will be virtually sleeping or just about to sleep. Now remember that in the first century Palestine, or in Palestine generally, and I've lived there for a few years, the days are very hot. In fact, you can get temperatures as high as 49 degrees centigrade. Once it hits 50, the labor laws internationally determine that nobody should work outside because you could suffer from heat stroke. And heat strokes are very common. So in those days, you traveled when the sun sets. And so it was very common that people would go on a journey and arrive very, very late. And this was the case here. So Jesus is telling the story of the man. A friend appears on a long journey at midnight. He looks tired and hungry. Again, in this society, hospitality was a sacred, sacred duty. Even to strangers, a stranger appears at your door, says, I'm traveling, and it's late. Can I have a place to rest? In that culture, it was a sacred duty to entertain that stranger, let alone a friend. So this friend really is thinking about the hungry and tired friend who has arrived and says, I have to find him something to eat. But his problem is that he has nothing to offer. He probably has finished whatever he had with his family and thinking of what to prepare the following day. So what does he do? He thinks about his neighbor. And this is a village, a small neighborhood. Everybody cares for each other. So he thinks, oh, maybe I could go to the next neighbor and knock on his door at midnight. But who likes to be woken up at midnight when you are asleep? Will he be mad at me? Am I going to incur his displeasure? Is he going to rebuke me for waking him up? So he's torn between two things: to leave his friend hungry throughout the night, or to wake up the other neighbor and disturb his sleep. He has to make that choice. But he reasons, what are friends for? What are neighbors for? A friend in need is a friend indeed. Maybe I'll wake him up just for a few minutes. He'll be able to provide me the loaves of bread, and I'll be able to see to my friend who is hungry. That's the way he thinks. And he pursues his plan to go to the next neighbor. So that's the neighbor who is showing hospitality, the friend who is showing hospitality. Let's talk about the man who is woken up. He says to him, when he knocks, he said, don't bother me. The door is already locked. In those days, these were very poor people. The house had a front part, which is of a lower level, where you kept your chicken, your sheep, and then it was one room where the family would share together. And it has only one door. And ancient Palestine, what they did was the door had, on the wooden panel, they had rings through which you put an iron bar behind the door. So that was your security. So it's an iron bar that is put through these rings to keep the door secure. So it makes a lot of noise. He also says, my children and I are in bed. It's most likely that they were all sleeping on a mat on the floor, an elevated mat. So they are all together, crumpled together in the cold of the night. They keep each other warm. And so really, to get up and respond to that need will require him going to remove the bar, create a lot of noise. Everybody will have to wake up, the children, and everybody is going to have to wake up in order just to provide a few loaves of bread to the next neighbor. Just think about it. So he says, no, don't disturb me. I can't. My children are asleep. The door is already locked. But Jesus tells the story. What happens? The friend continues to knock. Don't bother me. Please go away. It's late. He keeps on knocking. He keeps on knocking. So at this point, this guy has to make up his mind. I either get up and quickly get this loaf of bread to this guy, or he's going to keep me awake until dawn. So in that frustration, he gets up and gives him exactly what he wants. What is Jesus trying to say here? What he's trying to say is that if you are a friend, surely you'll quickly get up for a few minutes and give him the loaf of bread, rather than have him knocking on your door so many times, disturbing your sleep, and even waking up the neighbors beyond because of the loud noise that is coming from it. But Jesus said, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. The Greek word that is used there is in the present continuous. So really, the proper translation will be, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Let's think about this for a moment. Think about the privilege of prayer. That God, in his infinite wisdom, has created prayer as a means to get right into his presence. No mediator, no barriers, no delays. Instant, 24/7 hotlink. It's a direct line to his presence. God is around to receive our calls every time, every day, every moment. He can take billions of these calls at the same time and address every need at the same time. There's no recorded message. There are no excuses, no buts. It's a direct access to the God of this universe. What a privilege. What a privilege. The privilege of prayer. And what's this purpose? The purpose is to communicate with God. Any relationship that is worth a relationship is founded on communication. It's founded on just chatting. Just think of two lovers who have fallen in love to each other, with each other. The one single thing that really cements that relationship, they want to chat all the time. They want to call each other all the time. You want to hear the other person's voice. Parents, you know this. You have children. You just want to talk to them. You just want them to talk back. That relationship is founded on communication. And that is what prayer is. Prayer is primarily to cultivate intimacy with our Father. He loves it. He wants us to come. He's given us that privilege to take advantage of it. And that's why Tim Keller, in the quote that you saw, said, prayer is both conversation and an encounter. We come to God in the awe of praising his glory. And we share that intimacy of finding his grace and the struggle of asking him for our needs, sometimes they are desperate needs. But through it all, what he's trying to do is bringing us to the knowledge of the real spiritual reality of being in his presence. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach here. That when we come to God, we are not coming to a reluctant God, but we are coming to one who is willing to help us. But we have to persist. Why do we have to persist? If he knows what we need, and he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient, why doesn't he just give us our request, knowing that we have need? You need a job. Everybody needs a job. Without a job, you cannot live life and be able to support yourself. Doesn't God know I need a job? Why do I have to wait? You have ill health. Your health is failing. You are in pain all the time. Your heart is failing. Doesn't God know that I need healing? I need restoration of health. Why does he make us persevere? And I think Trasha put it right. It seems sometimes that God omnipotent has purpose, that our persevering prayer is the means by which he accomplishes his will. And by coming to him in perseverance, what we demonstrate is that this thing is important to me. I won't let it go. Just like that guy said, I don't care whether he likes it or not. I'm going to wake him up and get these loaves for my friend, because I can't have my friend sleep throughout the night without any food because he's hungry. In the same way, he wants to see our persistence and our determination. the power of prayer. Prayer unites us with God. And what prayer does in its most powerful moment is when your will aligns with God's will, then his power is released because he's doing his own will. So in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So in effect, prayer is not a blank check. It's not a blank check to ask anything we wish. What it rather is, in prayer, you are asking God in his willingness to align your will with his. And when your will is aligned with the will of God, then he shows up so that the glory and honor will be to his name. Let me ask you today, what have you been praying for and are still waiting for an answer? Is it a parent who is not in fellowship with God? Is it for a spouse? Is it for a son or a daughter? Is it for a job? Is it for ill health? Is it for a relationship? Is it for a crisis in your place of work? Is it struggle with your school? Whatever it is, we all have areas in our lives where we've been praying for years and waiting for an answer. And it seems that God does not hear. This parable is saying he hears you. He hears you. Sometimes he has made it that way to slowly, slowly make us align our will with his. Then he shows up for us. He shows up for us. So what's our response to the parable? Whatever your situation, keep asking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking, keep asking, and you'll get it. Keep seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. But if you're going to keep on knocking, 8 minutes a day will not do. That's too little. If it is really important, so the parable is saying, if the thing is really important to you, if it is something you can't do without, the friend had to be fed. There was no way the friend was going to go through the night hungry. It had to happen. And that was the reason for his persistence. So if what you are asking God is that important to you, oh, it's worth waiting. And it's worth repeating. It's worth repeating. D.L. Moody said in the quote that some people think God is too busy to disturb, that he doesn't like our troubling him with coming and asking all the time. That's what our mindset is like, because that's how we live our lives. We don't want to be bothered with the same thing over and over and over again. We get frustrated. God is the opposite. D.L. Moody says, what troubles him is our not coming at all. That's what troubles the Father, that we are praying so little, that we are not really communing with him, that we are not bringing our struggles to him, that we are not telling him what we want him to do enough. That's what he wants. That's what troubles him. He wants you to keep coming. It could be all night. It could be all day. He loves it because that's what he wants for us. So Jesus is teaching his disciples to be shamelessly persistent, which was what the friend was. He was shameless in his persistence. He said, I don't care whether he rebukes me. I don't care whether he likes it or not. I will get the loaves of bread for my friend. He wants us to be shamelessly persistent in bringing our requests to him, God the Father. Not trying to get a reluctant God to answer us, but rather, we want our requests to be expressed to him with all seriousness and with all commitment. God is available 24/7. And invites us to bring our requests to him. We are not disturbing him at all. So I urge you, approach him with boldness, with confidence, with shameless persistence, because he loves it. Let me end with a poem. And this poem was written here in Ontario, so it's so close to us. So there's a guy called Joseph Scriven from Ireland. He had gone to Trinity College, got a job as a teacher, had a fiancée, and just about the day before they would get married, the fiancée drowned and died. Joseph was so stricken with grief that he decided to migrate from Ireland to Ontario. He settled in Port Hope. He found a job as a woodcutter, and he found another fiancée, another woman, who fell ill and within 3 weeks also died. At the age of 25, Scriven finds himself having had two fiancées die, one after the other. 10 years later, he hears news from Ireland that his mother is sick, very, very ill. Joseph is penniless. He had no money to be able to travel as far as Ireland. So he writes this poem, which has been the lyrics of a very famous song you all know. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he will take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Please pray with me. Oh, what a friend we have in you, Jesus. And what a privilege to carry everything to you in prayer, that we have access to you, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, the God of this universe, and you can hear us. Lord, will you make us courageous? Will you make us persistent in prayer? Will you make us prayer warriors, people who come to you, knowing that, Lord, you hear us, and being persistent, knocking and seeking until we find, so that your name will be glorified in us, and through us, the world might know that indeed you are a God who answers prayer. Amen.